about a quarter until 10, and my mom was yelling down to the basement, "Bye, Taylor. Love you." She, of course, was yelling down to my downstairs living room where I sat comfortably watching TV. "Bye, Mom. Love you too," I replied. My mom is a supervisor at a casino and typically works late hours, and since it's just me and my mom, I just stay home by myself. It has been like this for ever since I was about 12 years old. Once she finally left, I went upstairs and I decided to make myself a late night snack. I couldn't decide what sounded better, a piece of cheesecake or some chocolate ice cream. I decided on the ice cream. Once I started eating, my miniature schnauzer Ruby lay near my feet as I began to watch some TV in the upstairs living room. I was watching one of the newer episodes of The Walking Dead, one of my favorite shows. Rick was about ready to lay into a zombie when the lights in the television began to flicker. It seemed weird that this would happen considering that there wasn't a storm outside or any high winds. The TV turned itself off and the lights continued their slow, rhythmic flicker. Ruby started to bark, and this was pretty common whenever our lights would go out. I think she's afraid of the dark, so I decided to go check on the circuit breaker outside and see if anything happened to it. I threw on my boots and coat and walked out into the December snow. I wasn't able to notice from inside, but the wind had really picked up since earlier that day. The branches in the trees whipped back and forth through the harsh wind. I found the circuit breaker only to find the hatch to it was open. It didn't seem like anything had happened to the wiring, but then I peered inside and looked more closely. I noticed little teeth marks on the wires. Something was trying to bite through the wiring. I started to laugh and think I was getting worried over a little mouse or something stupid like that. Then my heart dropped. The only way to get to the wiring was unlocking the hatch to the circuit breaker. Something had tried to bite through the wiring, but it wasn't a mouse. I walked back around to the front door of my house and went back inside. Ruby was waiting anxiously next to the door for my arrival. I patted her on the head and returned to the couch to watch some more TV. An hour or so passed, and I finally had noticed that Ruby still sat next to the front door. I figured she wanted to go outside, so after it went to a commercial, I paused it and put her on a leash to go outside. I opened the front door and Ruby began to growl immediately. I was about to open the screen door when I looked down to see a pool of blood on my front porch. At the end of the trail of blood was a dead rabbit, gutted out and left to die in front of my house. My heart leaped and I shut the door and immediately locked it. "What the fuck?" I yelled. I thought what had happened at first was just a coincidence. Now I was starting to get worried. Ruby continued to growl at the door, refusing to leave. I was petting her and trying to calm her down until a loud bang came from the backyard. At this point, I didn't want to take my chances and go outside to see what was going on. So I walked to the back of the house near the kitchen and turned on the back patio lights. They lit up for a second and then turned off. Even before tonight, the back patio lighting was pretty faulty and needed repair. I didn't want to go outside and see what had happened, but my curiosity was getting the better of me. Also, I didn't want to feel like such a pussy. So once again, I decided to venture out into the snow. This time, I was prepared by bringing a flashlight and a kitchen knife. It wasn't much, but it was all I had. Cautiously, I opened the front door, forced to stare at and walk over the remains of the dead rabbit graciously left as an early Christmas present. Before I walked around back, I shined my light into the front yard. Hoof prints. I felt a little bit relieved. A deer. A stupid fucking deer. That could explain the dead animal on my porch, but was it possible for a deer to open a circuit breaker? I made my way around back. I shined the light at the hoof tracks, following them up to my backyard patio furniture. I shined the light up at the furniture to see that everything seemed fine, although one of the chairs was missing. I shined my flashlight closer to the house, and to my horror, I saw blood draped across the side of my house, the missing chair flung next to the back door with slashes through the chair cushion. Whatever had killed that rabbit must have smeared it along the back of my house before laying it out front. This couldn't have been the work of a deer. I was back to panic mode. Fuck this, I thought to myself. I ran. Yes, I ran back to the front of the house, nearly tripping up in the snow. I was done with this detective shit for the night. I got back to the front porch and noticed immediately that the dead rabbit was gone. Nothing left but the pool of blood starting to freeze over. My heart started beating hard. I had left the front door unlocked. I looked closely at the door and noticed it wasn't completely closed. It was cracked. I reached out for my pocket and remembered I had left my keys sitting on the downstairs coffee table. Shit, I muttered. I sat there long and hard, trying desperately to remember if I had actually closed the door when I left the house the second time. What if some thing had gotten into my house? Maybe it wasn't a deer at all. Too many thoughts were running wild in my head. Then again, I could be overacting. What if it truly was a deer that did all this? Maybe it had rabies and was just having a freak out. I'm no animal expert, but it made me feel a little more at ease. After a few minutes of standing and staring at the front door, I walked inside. Nothing seemed out of place. All seemed right. All seemed right until I realized Ruby didn't come up and greet me at the door like she usually did. Paranoia struck my heart like a hammer once more. A lump developed in my throat as I tried to work up the courage to call out my dog's name. Ruby? I choked. No sound. No sound except the howling wind creeping outside my house. Ruby! I yelled, gaining more courage this time. This time I heard a slight thud come from the basement, respond to the sound of my voice. I walked over to the stairway, down to my basement. I could see the door was wide open, almost inviting me to come down to see what lurked below me. I really had to think about this. Who knows what was down there? I didn't want to go, but I had no choice. Curiosity once again gave me the gentle push I needed to explore once again. I grabbed the kitchen knife I had from before and slowly descended down the stairs, each step creaking louder than the last. Ruby, I called out. No sound this time. I got to the bottom of the stairs and turned the corner. The middle area of our uncompleted basement looked normal. Nothing seemed touched or moved. I took slow strides, looking in every corner of the room nearing my destination, my bedroom. I began to breathe heavy when I noticed my bedroom light was on. I never kept my light on if I left the room. Something or someone was in that room. I stepped closer to the room, gripping the knife tighter with a sweaty palm. Finally, I stood directly in front of the lit room. I took a deep breath and flung the door open. I dropped the knife. There, sprawled out on my bed, was my dog's body. Blood sprayed everywhere. Her innards hung around my room like Christmas decorations. Ruby's decapitated head sat on my dresser facing towards the door. Her eyelids had been ripped off, and I could see the terror that was still left in her eyes. Oh my God, Ruby! I cried. I couldn't believe my eyes. Now I knew that after all my denial, there was no possibility of any sort of an animal doing this. After a good minute of weeping, I looked up again to see another horror. Something I hadn't noticed even when I first walked in. There, written in my dog's blood, was a message written on the wall. I'm always around you, watching, waiting. Next to the message, the basement window right above my bed was busted in. Whoever did this had escaped. I had no idea what to do. I was in shock and awe from what just occurred. I needed to get help. I didn't want to call the police because they would have thought I was a lunatic to say some person came into my home and killed my dog. Paul. I needed to get Paul. Paul is our next door neighbor who was pretty much watched me grow up my entire life. He fought in the Gulf War, and if anybody could help me, it would be a veteran. I ran upstairs and out the front door, nearly slipping in the blood of the rabbit. I flew to Paul's door and began knocking frantically, pounding on it, unsure if whoever had killed my dog was still wandering around. No answer. His white Ford F-150 was still in the driveway, so I knew he had to be home. I ran around to his backyard and went to the back door. He usually kept it open, and to my luck, it was unlocked. Paul, are you home? Are you home, man? I heard some shuffles in the back near his bedroom. Hey, some really crazy stuff has happened to me tonight, and I could really use your... I couldn't finish my sentence because when I went back to Paul's room, at the foot of his bed was Paul's dead body being consumed by a giant black figure. It had red, beady eyes and horns where its ear should be. It had long pincers near its mouth and sharp, pointy fangs off to the end of its mouth. And it had four, I presume to be, man legs. It looked up from its feast to reveal a devilish grin. I was frozen with fear. It continued to gorge on Paul's flesh as he grinned and glared into my eyes. I was unsure if I would be able to move or not. My knees had locked, and if I had attempted to run, my legs would just give in. It was that stare, the look in his eyes that he was already caught his prey without even catching it yet. Finally, after a couple minutes of frozen terror, he stopped consuming Paul long enough to say one word in a long and unfamiliar hiss. Run. All at once, my legs had regained their strength, and I was out of there like a bat out of hell. I darted out the front door and could hear the monster chasing me, bumping into Paul's furniture as it sprinted towards my fleeting feet. I ran back inside my house and locked the door. I could hear him pounding on the door, harder and harder he hit it, attempting with all his might to break it down. But then, all at once, the pounding stopped. I was cautious now more than ever. This thing was determined to kill me. Then it hit me all at once. The window. My bedroom window was wide open, and that thing is probably already in the house. I decided one more time that leaving was my best option. So I picked up the knife and ran down the street towards my other neighbors. I ran up to the Wilkerson's house and rang the doorbell. No reply, but the lights were on. I busted in the door and ran to their kitchen to find both of their bodies mutilated all over the kitchen table. Words were written on the tile floor. Watching. Waiting. At the sight, my heart sank. He killed them all. He probably got to the rest of the neighbors too. I must be the last one alive. Well, if this was true, I wasn't going to give up. Not that easily. I looked around the Wilkerson's home for a gun. I wasn't able to find any kind of suitable weapon until I walked down to the basement. There, I found an old hunting rifle Mr. Wilkerson had hanging up on the mantle. Ammunition was right next to it. I loaded the old gun and headed upstairs, slowly. Their stairs were much older and creaked louder than ours. I was midway up the stairs when a voice appeared upstairs. This is the St. Peter's Police Department. Is there anybody else here? Excitement leapt into my heart. Somebody had alerted the police, thank God. I ran upstairs to be greeted by two officers. Officers, I'm here. I'm right here. The moment I walked upstairs, I knew it was too late. Right behind the two officers was the monster. It looked at me and gave me the familiar blood-stained smile it had previously shown me. And before I could even warn the officers, the pinchers grabbed a hold of their throats and sliced them clean open. No! I screamed. I took aim. I wasn't a great shot, but I've been hunting once or twice. I opened fire. The first bullet flew past its head. The second bullet hit it right in its left pincher. It hollered in pain. It began to run at me at full force. I shot again, this time hitting one of the four legs. Then I hit it square in the head, stopping it dead on its tracks. It fell to the ground in front of me. It gasped for air and looked at me with its beady eyes once again. "Fuck you," I said as I put the final bullet through its brain. I threw the gun down and walked back to my house. It was over and I was tired after a long night of torment. The howling of the wind had finally died down and it was time to sleep. When I reached my house, I saw the blood at the rabbit had finally frozen over. I stepped over it and walked into my house. As I walked into the living room, I saw, with all my horror, Paul's carcass slain in my couch. That same terrible message was written across the top of my living room once more for my eyes to endure. "I'm always around you, watching, waiting." At that moment I saw the message, I felt something grab tightly around my neck and squeeze. Everything faded to black. I awoke to everything cleaned in the living room. Not a trace of blood or guts anywhere. I was thoroughly impressed with the creature's precision to detail, making it look as if nothing had happened. There in the living room, with me sitting on the couch, was Paul, decorated in his Class A uniform, enjoying a cup of coffee. Ruby laid at his feet, and I was in the kitchen enjoying a bowl of ice cream. Dying wasn't so bad. Not at all. I barely felt it. My only regret is that I wish I could warn my mom before she gets home about the creature. About how he's lurking in the depths of her closet. About the surprising death slowly coming for her. About how he's always watching. Waiting.